Hello, my name is Jenna, and welcome back to Psyche. Unfortunately, Terrence will no longer be joining us on the podcast, and as such, the structure has changed slightly. Until I find another co-host, I will be bringing friends on as guests, and as always, every other episode will be mental health focused, while the others will primarily be on books, movies, shows, games, and more. If the episode contains sensitive topics or spoilers, I will put TW for trigger warning, or SP for spoilers, in the description with a brief summary of the topics discussed in that episode. It should be noted that my guests and I are not mental health professionals and that you should not think of us as such. If you are struggling in any way, please contact a mental health professional. Okay, hi everyone. Today I have with me Emily.
Hi!
It has taken us 35 minutes to just start recording, but I've enjoyed every minute of it because Emily is a wonderful human being. And
I love you. The
topic of the day is something that we have both thought a lot about. And it is religion, particularly in regards to mental health, because this is a mental health podcast, and it all relates. So, basically, we're going to be talking about spirituality.
All right, all right. I can't wait.
Yeah,
I love
talking
about this stuff. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, I figured you were the perfect person to do this one with, because you're just incredibly insightful.
Oh.
So, you know. Yeah, so Emily and I both went to the same Catholic high school, and Emily's actually still there. And, yeah, we've had very different experiences with religion, I think. We were both raised Catholic. We've actually attended the same schools. Did you go to... Yeah, so we went to a Catholic school that was elementary through middle school and also included preschool and kindergarten. And I know that's where I was from the time I was 3 to the time I was 14. And then we went to the Catholic high school that our school fed into. And so we've had pretty much the same religious education.
Yeah.
Since our families are also Catholic, we've had that as well. I mean, I don't know about you, Emily, but I think the only thing that I really didn't like about growing up in that environment is that we didn't learn about other religions.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I had to do all that research on my own because, like, I was interested in it. And, like, Catholicism is also, like, really involved with other faiths. And, like, there's a lot of, like, connections and, like, intertwinings. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know why we were never taught about that. Because even if we're only going to talk about our faith in a Catholic school, our faith is still really connected with other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very messed up because the way that they taught it for me, I don't know. I mean, I assume they kind of taught it the same for you since, again, we had the same education, but we had different teachers, I think. You know, I learned that it was our duty as Catholics to know and appreciate all different religions. But we were also never taught about them. Like, I realized when I was a junior in high school that I didn't even know what the difference was between Christianity and Catholicism. Because no one had explained to me that Christianity is Catholicism is Christianity. It's just kind of a sect of it.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think that was, like, my biggest complaint growing up in the Catholic education system. But in other respects, it was good.
Yeah. I think my biggest problem with, like, having, like, that Catholic education and, like, the way that they handle it is that I feel like they wasted so much potential, you know?
Yeah,
because, like,
definitely.
I feel like this is true for most Catholic schools, middle school and high school. They don't teach you, like, real faith. They just teach you facts and, like, theology and religion, which is, like... You can learn that anywhere, you know? Like, I feel like what we learned at our school, we truly could have learned from, like, literally, like the internet, like, Google. I feel like most people send their kids to a Catholic school, like, most of the time, because they want their kids to, like, have a Catholic faith. And, like, if that's what you want, I'm sorry, but there's not really a point in sending your kids to a Catholic school. At least not anymore, because, I mean, that's not, like, you're not going to learn faith there.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think people send their kids to Catholic schools or Christian schools so that they can connect with the spirituality of it and, you know, learn what we believe and why and just all of that. But instead, for a lot of the time, we just learned, like, St. Patrick grew up in Ireland.
Yeah.
What does a dogma mean?
Yeah.
What's a magisterium? Like, we just learned vocab words, like, over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of the same ones, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you're little, they just tell you stories, basically, where it's like, you learn the Bible. And they kind of teach you how to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it would be a lot more valuable if you did have time to connect to your spirituality instead of just regurgitating facts that they give you. Because I remember my junior year, I had like a crisis where basically I realized that the only reason I had any faith in God or in Jesus was because I was scared not to. Basically, you know, another part of why I didn't necessarily connect with Catholicism and still don't is because I grew up on scare tactics.
Yeah, that's such a big thing.
Yeah, and there are so many good parts of Catholicism and all, like, all of the other religions, but I think that people get too hung up on, these are the rules, these are what we do.
Yeah, and, okay, well, this is kind of, like, a little bit of backstory, but have I ever told you about how, like, I actually, like, fell in love with the Catholic faith?
You have not, no, but I'm very curious
to hear.
Okay,
so, here you go. But there is a place about an hour away in Centerburg called Damascus Catholic Mission Campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've probably heard, like, CYSC before. So that's where that is. So if you're listening and you don't know what that is, basically you go there over the summer for a week and it's like summer camp. And they have like a bunch of different like high adventure level activities that you can do. And then at the same time, it's like a faith-based camp. So like all during the day, you're like doing activities and stuff. Like it's a beautiful campus. And then like at night and stuff, you go to like talks and like praise and worship and you have mass and you just like, you learn a lot about like basically everything they didn't teach you in Catholic school that they should have. Like all of the facts that like, you know, like Jesus loves you and like wants a relationship with you. And like, I feel like the Catholic school that like we've seen is so focused on like traditionalism.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But
our school was founded in the 50s and I think it's just kind of upheld those ideals.
Oh yeah. And Damascus like still like goes by like traditionalist values because like it's still Catholic, obviously. But it like 100% has like that, like, I don't want to say contemporary, but I'll just say like it has like the heart aspect to it almost. That's not like a perfect way to describe it, but like I feel like you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it basically, like, teaches you, like, the faith, but, like, in a way where you, like, it, like, kind of connects your soul to it. That sounds so cheesy, but it's so true.
Well, I mean, we're talking about spirituality, so I think that's kind of the point, is what brings that side out, you know? What connects to your soul, that deeper part of you that is harder to connect with if you're just going through the motions of daily life.
Yeah. I feel like the way, if at least it was for me, I've heard so many people's, like, different stories. But I know for me, it was, like, just connecting it to, like, what I was, like, going through at the time, you know? Because, like, obviously everyone's been through a lot of crap. But realizing that, like, Jesus, like, was really there for me and, like, wanted to help me with that and, like, actually could help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, he had, like, love and peace and joy for me and basically everything that I was missing at the time. And this is going to sound so cliche, but I don't even care. You know how, like, people always say, like, oh, there's a God-sized hole in your heart. Like, or there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. Like, it was literally kind of like that.
Yeah.
And, like, everything that I had been missing that was, like, making me, like, feel so poorly.
Aww.
Was waiting for me in Jesus.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds so cheesy, but it's so true.
Well, see, here's the thing. Even if it is cheesy, who cares? Because, again, it's how you connect with your spirituality. And I think that one of the things that is kind of forgotten in all of this is that that's all religion is a way for you to be spiritual, because you have to have that aspect of your life too, which is something that I think both sides kind of forget, where it's like people who are super religious tend to just focus on the rules and use it as a moral guideline. And then people who are completely against religion and organized religion forget that you still have to have that spirituality to keep you, I guess, in touch with yourself.
Exactly.
It's actually really important to mental health.
Yeah.
Because back in high school, when I went through that little crisis, I just kind of decided that, like, there was no God. There's religion is pointless. Religion is just a way that people feel like they can
have a moral upstanding value or whatever. And I was really angry, and I like completely lost that side of myself, because I don't think I ever found it in Catholicism. I found it in other things or specific parts of Catholicism that I was experiencing, but not necessarily like in Jesus yeah. or in God. It was more just in the world, and like God created this beautiful earth and I get to mm-hmm. live in it. And, you know, I guess I found purpose as well, because you're supposed to live a life of service, of trying to be there for other people, make other people happy. And so when I had lost all of that and decided like religion wasn't for me, there was a time where I felt really empty, because I was just going through the motions of daily life and not really connecting with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like I found that side of myself in other things, this also sounds super cheesy. So I'll go outside, and let's say that it's a sunny day and the leaves are like bright green, and you just can see the sunlight streaming through the leaves. It's like, oh, it's so pretty, it's so nice. Or connecting with other people.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I find my spirituality. And, you know, I don't know, just kind of the idea that yeah. all you really have to do is leave things or people better than you found them.
Yeah, no, but like, I love hearing about that stuff. And like, honestly, that spirituality is like still part of like who I am and like my faith, because like,
yeah,
I didn't really like get into my faith until I was like 13 or 14. And at that point, I feel like it kind of sounds weird to say this about like a 13 or 14 year old, but like I've kind of tried mm-hmm. like every kind of faith almost, or like everything that like I wanted
oh wow
to, or like was interested in. Like I had gone through a period where like I had like wasn't really sure that God existed, and like was just basically questioning a lot, which I feel like is like pretty normal if you're like a teenager, like you gotta ask questions.
Yeah.
And then I like when I decided like, oh, you know, like I guess I believe in God, but like maybe Catholicism's like not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I also like had like a spiritual phase where like I think it's pronounced like Reiki.
I have no idea.
Like I like got into that for a hot sec, and that's like how I like having that kind of spirituality is like kind of how I like got like really into like nature, and like I still am like into like nature like that, and like that spirituality like is like still kind of like almost like has leftover parts in my faith that are really cool to see, because now they're just like incorporated into Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And now instead of being like I feel like the energy of the forest or something, I'm like oh my gosh, I can really feel like the presence of God like in this forest, you know, and like I love that he made this, and like I can like see the beauty of what he made, and I can like feel him in this almost, if that makes sense.
I identify as a tree nymph.
That's freaking awesome.
Nah,
I love me some tree nymphs.
Tree nymphs. I'm a forest spirit. That's all I oh could gosh. Hear when you were talking about connecting to the yeah, forest.
I was briefly the Laura.
Briefly. Oh. But yeah, I mean, honestly, in regards to any religion, it's I just think like Catholicism is probably the most, or Christianity in general is the most popular yeah. in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that all religions have value.
Absolutely.
And I remember my, I think, sophomore year religion teacher told us that Catholicism was the only path to heaven.
Oh, wow.
You know, hearing that on top of like just generally bad messages, poorly taught things, or misinterpretations on my own part, it just like really turned me off of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this is true for people of any religion. Yeah. There are people who think that they're right and that everyone else is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's really damaging, because the whole message of any, or I guess not any, but like most religions is just be a good mm-hmm. person. And being a good person includes respecting each other and each other's choices.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think that someone's making the wrong choice, you can try and gently steer them in the right direction. But ultimately, if it's not hurting anyone,
mm-hmm.
what's the harm in letting them make that decision? If they're happy, if they are a good person, there's no problem with it. And I think that knowing that, like hearing the teacher, who will remain nameless, hearing him say that Catholicism was the only path to heaven, I think that motivated me more to learn about the other religions. And actually, I'm really glad that I did, because I took Intro to World Religions last spring at college, and I had this phenomenal teacher who, he's just a character. He, like, would wear a cowboy hat. He would sit cross-legged on a table to teach, and, like, he was just a character.
Yeah.
But he was so, like, well-versed in what he was teaching. It just, for the first time, I was like, wow, this is what it's like to be spiritual. This is what it's like to understand people of other religions. Because I never had before. Like I said, I didn't even know what the difference between Christianity and Catholicism was. But it kind of, I don't know. I think everyone that I know who went to the schools that we did, or almost everyone, there are still people who kind of are mindlessly dedicated. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If they find comfort in it, then go for it.
Yeah. I mean, you do you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm not going to criticize people who are mindlessly, quote unquote, dedicated, because I guess if that's how they connect to their spirituality, or if that's what brings them comfort, then there's no harm in it. They're just, as long as they're a good person and not hurting anyone, that's their decision. But most of the people that I know either kind of had a rough period, like you and I, where we tried other things or questioned Catholicism or whatever, and either came back to it or just kept moving on, and found their peace in something else.
Yeah. And I wish I could say to that teacher who told you that, like, Catholicism is, like, the only path to heaven, like, to put it extremely bluntly, anyone from any faith can go to heaven or hell. You can be a Catholic and absolutely still go to hell. You can be someone from another faith. Like, you can never even hear the name of Jesus and, like, still go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, God, like, is going to look at everything, you know? He's not just going to be like, oh my gosh, you, like, someone sneezed when you were 13 and you didn't say bless you. Hell, like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
And I've also, like, another really, really interesting take I've heard on this is that someone told me the other day that God wants you to be whatever religion or, like, denomination that's going to bring you closest to him. If you, like, you choose to be, like, Christian or something. And, like, I thought that was really interesting because, like, I know a lot of people who have, like for whatever reason have been, like, really, like, hurt or, like, just have not been able to, like, feel, like, a sense of belonging in the Catholic faith. And then they've, like, left and they've become, like Episcopalian or, like, Lutheran or something, or Protestant. And, like, they absolutely love it. And, like, them becoming a different denomination is, like, what, like, gives them that spark in their faith. And then, like, after that, they will be, like, super duper, like, religious and, like, so into it. But all they had to do was, like, switch denominations because, like, they just couldn't, like, vibe with the other one. And, like, I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And I think, in part, that's – I think there's a superficial quality to most religions. And not that that's a bad thing. It's just we're human and we need something physical or something relatively tangible. Like, I'm – like, a denomination, for example, basically is just saying – I used to be part of that group, now I'm part of this group. And while that is somewhat superficial, it's also understandable because, again, we're human. We need that definition, I guess, is the best way of saying it. So, honestly, like, it doesn't really matter. And especially, like, I don't think that anyone can judge each other from Islam, Christianity, or Judaism.
Yeah.
Because they all worship the same God. Like, it all stems from the same story. And yet, we still have people within each faith criticizing the other. But it's like, everyone would just be way more at peace if they just accepted, like, this is how it is. And every religion is beautiful.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny that it's especially, like, those three religions. Because, like, I don't know a ton about, like, other religions. But I know that specifically for those three, there is, like, a monumental, colossal focus on loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
And, like, judging your neighbor and, like, being like, oh my gosh, you're a terrible person. Like, you are going to hell because you don't believe the exact same thing that I do. Like, does that sound like loving your neighbor to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all very ironic. And I think that another part of the religion and everything, and why I guess so many people are turned off from it, is because the majority, actually, no, not even the majority. There's a group in every religion that speaks the loudest, and it's usually to criticize. Or think about it. We have a class of, let's say, 30 people in one religion class, and there's one religion teacher.
Yeah.
This teacher teaches, let's say, Catholicism is the only path to heaven, which is not true. So he teaches that, and all 30 look at him and think he's crazy because they know that's not true, but that one person believes it, but he's the one who's teaching it. He's the one who is speaking, and he's also the one who is loudest about what he believes in. He's the one who goes to Planned Parenthood clinics and stands outside.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people look at that and they think, this is what all of this group believes. But really, you have 30 people who are not believing that, who have a looser view of everything and know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have that one person who is super rigid, super traditional, and who says that Catholicism is the only way to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is admittedly what drove me away. So in my first episode that I recorded, which was my introduction, I talked about how this is kind of a change and it's a little darker, so I apologize for that. But I talked about how when Peyton Young died, they at her funeral decided to kind of change gears from, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell, to, it wasn't her fault because she had a mental illness, so she won't go to hell. What do you think of that? Because it's really weird that all my life, we were told, hey, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. And then because this happened, now they're changing their views, which I think is good. I like it. But yeah, I was just kind of curious, what are your thoughts on that?
I think St. Bridget actually might have started teaching that a little differently, after your class, for whatever reason. Because, when we were taught that, they never really framed it in that light. They framed it as in, so you know how, the criteria for, committing, an actual sin are that you have to know that it's a sin and that you have to be fully, your free will cannot be compromised. So, nothing can be, making you do it.
Interesting.
And the way they always taught it to us was that if you have some sort of mental illness that's driving you to that point of suicide, at that point that is compromising your free will, and that at that point that if that's not a sin. That's what we've always been taught, at least my class.
Yeah, I like that a lot better, because my class never learned that. For us it was just, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. And it was okay. And then you kind of I guess because of that, I always grew up thinking it was one of the worst sins you could commit.
Yeah. That was the one thing, not the one thing, one of the things that St. Bridget taught, that I actually think that they did a really good job with handling it.
Because
I think some people might have actually complained to the school about that.
Well, as they should.
Yeah, because I've talked to people from your class and beyond, in the way that St. Bridget taught Catholicism or catechism about that. And I think some people really had a problem with it, so I think they had to change it. But, they always taught that, killing yourself because of, you were, really struggling with, mental health is not a sin, because, you're suffering so much, your, your free will just cannot be completely intact, and, stuff like that. And then they also taught that, the reason it's, identified as a sin at all is because, by defiling something that God made, because, mankind is, the pinnacle of God's creation. And, we know from, various Catholic teachings and scriptures and whatnot that, we are, the best of what God created.
It's just a lot to live up to.
I think it's really, really flattering. I just looking at, the sunset and then, or, the waterfalls and being, God, thinks that we're, even, better than that. It's, so cute. Aww, but
that is cute. When you put it that way, it's different. See, and I think that it's all in how you interpret it.
Yeah. But I know that they taught that that's kind of the main reasoning of why suicide was ever considered sin, is because you were taking something that God loves so indescribably much and killing it.
Yeah.
So doing that to something that God loves and hurting him in that way, I guess, is why they see it as that. Or at least that's what we were taught when we were at St. Bridget.
Yeah, and I think it's probably safe to say that anyone who commits suicide is either seriously mentally depressed, or they just think it's their only option in the moment.
Yeah. I can't think of a scenario where suicide would be an actual sin, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I do appreciate that they're changing that up. I just also think...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can call it a sin at all at that point.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's nice that they have this thought of, like, wow, we're the pinnacle of God's creation. And, you know... That is a nice thought, and it's comforting in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he gave us a gift, and I think if someone chooses not to take it, I think it's sad. I just don't think it's a sin.
Yeah, I can't picture any scenario where that would be not the case.
Yeah, I can't think of anything either, but...
Yeah, but that's why I think it was, like, I thought it was really, really important that they, like, brought that up at Peyton's funeral, because I remember... sitting there, and like I remember hearing him say that, like, I know Peyton is safe in the arms of her father
mm-hmm.
right now, and that, like, how, like, Jesus must have greeted her, and like he knows her father, like, Peyton is in Jesus's arms right now, and I was mm-hmm. like, that was just the exact right thing to say.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I'm definitely. Really glad he said that.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting how you're only 2 years younger than me, and yet they've already turned that teaching around for everyone. Yeah. And
I think that was really important. I think they definitely must have received some complaints about it.
Yeah, I would mm-hmm. assume so. Because I can't imagine why else they would change it around so quickly. Unless it was just... Well, they did have that, like, update of the Catholic Church when I was in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That
was really weird.
Yeah, it... and with your spirit.
yeah.
That was, like, the biggest change that I noticed. But maybe there were some... changes to what they were teaching as well, and maybe that's why it changed so quickly, because if I was in fourth grade, you would have been in second grade.
Yeah.
So maybe that does make sense, but also, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they did, because that is a very out-of-date teaching.
Yeah. I feel like it almost might have had to do, because they started teaching that when we were in, like, 6th, 7th, 8th grade-ish,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that's right around when Pope Francis... like, became Pope, and mm-hmm. I know that he has been, like, one of the, I don't want to use the word, like, progressive and, like, make it, like, political or something.
But,
like,
No.
He's definitely been the most, like, I'll say modern Pope we've ever had, and that's why, like, people who are literally atheists, like, freaking love Pope Francis.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because, like, he stands, like, so, so clearly for, like, love and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think he, like, I know he really started to make a push the second he became Pope to, like, make Catholicism, like, or, like, at least, like, change the way that they taught subjects like that.
Yeah.
In schools.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Major props to Pope Francis. Love him. He's great.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, for some reason, I feel like some people don't like him as much. But as far as I know, I think he's done a really good job of keeping... what the church is teaching relevant to today, instead of, like, oh, well, in the 50s, they said that if you commit suicide, you go to hell. So I guess that's it.
Yeah. No, and, like, everyone, I've seen, like, very few people in person who don't like Pope Francis, but everyone online that I've seen, they have all been the kind of, like, Catholic or Christian who, like, adhere super, super strongly to, like, traditionalism. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm not trying to rag on traditionalism. Like, again, like, believe whatever you want to believe. Like, traditionalism is such an important part of Catholicism. But I think that you need, like, the right balance of traditionalism and, like I don't, again, like, I don't want to say the contemporary, but for lack of a better word, I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like you need, like, a really good mix of those, because too much traditionalism can, like, sometimes leave out matters of the heart.
Yeah.
And, like, again, it definitely. Can all be, like, going through the motions and just, like, all rules and no soul. But then also, just being 100% contemporary, like, at least, like, for Catholicism, like, there's so many beautiful, amazing things of traditionalism that, like, you know, like, we still need.
Right, yeah.
And I feel like Pope Francis has done a lot to bring, like, more of, like, the contemporary aspect. And I feel like people who just adhere so strongly to traditionalism really don't like that. Sorry, I'm, like, talking so much. I'm going off on a mini tangent. But, like, I just love Pope Francis good. So much.
Well, that's what a podcast is for. It's for tangents.
Apologizes for talking on a podcast. All right. High five myself for that one.
She's on a podcast and she says, I'm sorry for talking so much.
Wow. That's really, really my finest hour right there. But I feel like especially people, because he has done so, so much to bring like unity between Catholicism and like the LGBT community and Catholicism and like other religions and just Catholicism with like other parts outside of Catholicism, just trying to like unite humanity as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people just like have a hard time understanding why and like why he's doing that and why he should be doing that and why it's great that he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah. I feel like, I mean, I could be mistaken on this, but I feel like he is probably the closest to teaching what Jesus taught.
I agree.
In like most of history, because, you know, Jesus, he was a pretty cool dude. I don't necessarily, I'm not going to have like a I love Jesus sticker on the back of my car or anything, because I'm not really into that scene, but like, he was a pretty cool dude. He had some good teachings, and basically the entire thing was just love one another.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he hung out with like beggars, prostitutes, lepers, all the people that were outcast from society. And so the fact that for so long people in the Catholic Church have been like, ah, gays will go to hell. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure that's what Jesus was going to say.
No. Yeah.
And I feel like with Pope Francis bringing all of these things back, where it's like, hey, we're going to rein ourselves in and remember that we're just going to love each other and that it's okay to be who you are because God created you to be that way. That sounds to me like he's probably the closest to Jesus that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's the perfect pope for this day and age. But I would say him or Pope John Paul II. It are just like they just look so much like Jesus. It's crazy. I love them.
Yeah, well, I remember my junior year teacher, religion teacher, trying to teach about why it was wrong to be homosexual. And she like she couldn't.
Oh boy.
Because you know, I mean, at that point we had a lot of LGBT students in my class. And in the school. And so she was like fumbling over her words, trying to explain why it's wrong. And in the end, she was just kind of like, she kind of had that, that answer that everyone gives who defends the Catholicism, like the Catholic Church's decision to make it a sin. It's like, well, you can be gay, you just can't act gay. And it's just kind of like, but that's not what God created you to be. So.
Yeah. And okay, this is like, kind of going like slightly like off topic but still like on topic, like you'll understand what I say. Like I feel like I absolutely hate the phrase like hate the sin, love the sinner.
Hate the sin, love the sinner. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's what people a lot of times use to justify like being unkind or hateful towards people who are in the LGBT community. And like Catholics will like use that a lot, or people of any faith really will say like hate the sin, love the sinner, like, oh my gosh, like, I love you as a person, but, like, I hate the fact that, like,
but at that point, you're not loving the entire person.
Exactly. And there's a difference between saying that, like, you know, like, I would not do what you're doing, and, like, this goes against, like, what I believe, and, like, I hate a certain part of you, like, and the way that you are. Because you, if you're, like, born gay, like, you can't change that. You didn't choose that. Like, nothing's wrong with you.
Yeah, or, like, gender, dysmorphia. There we go.
Yeah, like nothing's like wrong with you. You're not quote unquote like fundamentally disordered or stuff like I've seen some organizations say about it. Mm-hmm. And saying that like you hate that sin but love the sinner, like I feel like that just doesn't go together. And I feel like we need to, as Catholics, we need to like work on loving the LGBT community better. And saying that, like, you have a place here, you're not going to hell because you're, like, not, like, straight or cisgender or something.
Yeah. Actually, so speaking of, like, this is kind of going off of, it's a different topic, but speaking of, like, going to hell and everything, back when I was a junior, one of my friends said this, and it really, like, stuck with me, and kind of made me feel a little bit better about just everything, because at the time I was, you know, doubting my faith and whatever, and all of that. But he said something to the effect of, you'll only go to hell if you directly choose to go to hell. So the way I kind of took that, obviously there's, you can interpret it in a dozen different ways, but like, if you die and like, he basically gives you the choice of where you're going to go. Like, obviously there's supposedly purgatory in heaven and hell. And so maybe you say, you know, I do want to be with you in heaven, but I have some work to do. Then you go to purgatory. And if you genuinely are just like, you know, I want to be with you and I love you and all of that, then you go to heaven. And then if you're just like, ah, this isn't real, I hate you, you go to hell.
Yeah. Imagine dying, being in front of God, and then just being like, you're still not real.
I mean, at that point, it's just like, bro, what are you doing with your life? Death.
Yeah. Yeah. Your afterlife.
Yeah. It's just an interesting way of looking at it. And I think that you're never going to know what's going to happen when you die,
yeah,
obviously. But I think it's comforting to know, like, you have a choice. And whether that's what you're doing here or a direct yes or no to God's face, which sounds terrifying, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it's just comforting to know that you have a choice.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you did this sin, so you're going to go to hell. It's more than that.
Yeah. Again, like, Jesus is, like, a comprehensive human being. And, like, again, the whole thing, if he's not going to look at you, like, not saying bless you one time in when you were, like, 13 and be like, oh my gosh, you're a terrible person. But I feel like people from, like, all faiths of all levels of dedication always forget that at the end of the day, we don't know. Hell could be empty, you know? Like, literally, hell could be literally empty right now. And, like, literally everyone could be in heaven because, like, you just don't know. And I think, from my understanding, like, the way that, like, Catholicism traditionally teaches it is basically what you just said, but instead of making the choice after you die, you continuously make it while you're living.
Right, yeah.
So, I heard a really, really interesting way it was put a few years ago. Ignore me shifting in my chair. I'm sorry if that's super loud. Okay.
No, you're good.
But I read something that said hell exists because of love and because God loves us so much that he's not going to force us to be with him.
Mm.
So, like, in life, if you say, like, if you say or, like, through your actions show that, like, you just don't, like, want to be with God, then, like, he's not going to make you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that would be kind of terrible, like, forcing someone to be with you.
Yeah.
And God's not terrible.
Yeah.
So, just, like, looking at, like, hell existing, like, because God loves us, like, that literally, like, blew my mind. I had to, like, sit down and call, like, 8 different people, and I was like, what the heck? Like, I've never, like, heard this or, like, thought of it this way. But,
I mean, I might just be more cynical, but I was just imagining, God, like, the first human being dies, okay? Like, Adam dies, and God's like, all right, do you want to come be with me in heaven? And Adam's like, well, do I have any other options? So God just, like, snaps his fingers, opens up this pit into fire, and just goes, well, you can go there if you want.
Oh, my gosh.
Just like, do you really have an option?
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. But, yeah, I think one of the things that I really enjoyed learning about in world religion class last year was the different ideas of afterlife.
Did I ever tell you about that dream I had that one time?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry. I just totally interrupted you. Say what you're going to say. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to hear this.
Okay, so this is, like, so random. And, like, I don't really think this is even connected, like, to religion that much. But, like, it's connected to the afterlife, which is absolutely what we're talking about. So get ready for a huge tangent. But I had a dream once that me and my family were living in, like, Greendale from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
oh my God.
But, like, it was weird because, like, instead of having all of my siblings, I just had, like, a younger sister and an older brother. And in my dream, I died. And little sister was, like, a witch, so she brought me back. And I remember waking up, like, in a graveyard, like, covered in dirt. and like with a bunch of candles all around me, and it was raining, and like I remember it so, so vividly. And then she's like, oh my gosh, you're back, like I've been trying to resurrect you for like 3 months. Oh, and then God. I was like, what the heck, like this is really weird. But then I died again and again and again and again, and every time I died I saw a different version of the afterlife, like a weird like purgatory limbo state thing.
Wow.
I know. And like I just saw like different versions of it and like different almost like interpretations. Mm-hmm. And the last time I died, I went to, and but like the thing is, every single time I died and she brought me back, like I lost a part of my soul. And like it was really, really weird. And then on the last time I died, like that was supposed to be it. And like I was in heaven and I was like dancing the clouds in a white dress, like vibing, and then she brought me back again. But like all of my soul was gone, and like it was just like the worst thing ever.
Wow.
But, like,
that's,
I saw like so many different versions of like almost like, I don't want to say limbo, but like purgatory, question mark, I don't know. It was weird.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. It kind of reminds me, have you seen The Good Place?
I have. I love The Good Place.
I just finished watching it.
Oh, it's so good. What'd you think of the ending?
Oh my god, it's so good. It made me cry. That's the first like show that I've legitimately cried multiple tears about.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't want to say spoilers for anyone who's listening and hasn't seen it, but like, oh, the ending.
No, we can just put SP in the description so people know that there are spoilers.
Okay, well, spoiler alert for The Good Place. When Eleanor has to, like, let go of Chidi because, like, he decides that he's, like, done existing and, like, he wants to move on to, like, the great beyond or whatever.
Yeah.
Sobs. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's actually, as I was watching The Good Place, they took a lot of influence from, like, all the different religions' afterlives, and I found it really fascinating. I can't recall like specific details at the moment, but the idea that you are continuously reborn until you reach your perfect state, that I think comes from Hinduism.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think what I learned was that, I could be completely wrong and for that I apologize, but what I remember learning is that there's like a like different levels of existence, and so, you know, we're, I guess our spirits are like supposed to be gods and goddesses, and then you have to like achieve that level of divinity through your various lives, which is a very interesting concept. I forget which religion that is, but in any case, I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, and I also thought, like, what if that's real? Because you know how people are always like, ah, oh, she's such an old soul. Mm-hmm. Like, what if that's an actual thing?
Yeah. I think just the idea of, like, us being human and, like, it being good for us to, like, have religion, like, for our health and stuff, like, I think that's also so crazy, because having to pick one is, like, no matter what you believe is the right one, having to pick one at all is scary, because, like, there's what, like, I don't even know how many, and all of them think that they're the right one, and that if you don't pick the right one that they picked, then something really bad's gonna happen to you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was, I had some arguments with my family about religion, because I wasn't feeling Catholicism. Like, it's not how I connected to my spirituality. And I remember telling my mom that I didn't want to go to church anymore, and she was hell-bent on the idea that, oh, sorry. She was convinced
puns
that
puns about eternal damnation.
Puns about... That's what I'm going to title this episode.
Oh my god.
Anyways.
This is the most on brand thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. All of our conversations. No, but I remember she was convinced that if you didn't go to mass, then you would go to hell, which I don't know. It's just, I hate to use the word brainwashing, but there's like a level of brainwashing that goes into religion, especially if you're born into it. And so I feel really bad for everyone who is born into a religion, but whose family is that way, where it's like, if you leave this religion, or if you experiment with other religions, or if you just choose not to be religious, or if you just don't go to church this one day, you're going to go to hell. It's like, I don't know. I just don't like that. It's very bad for the psyche.
Yeah. And I think the mindset of people who, like, talk and act like that is, like, actually so interesting, because, like, they, like, are, like, almost doing it from, like, a place of love, you know, in, yeah. like, the way that they're perceiving yeah. their own actions, because they think that, like, okay, so, like, put it this way, you know, like, if a kid doesn't like getting, like, taking medicine and, like, they hate it, but, like, they still need mm-hmm. to because, like, they need it, like, to get better.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, if you're a good parent, you're gonna make them do it, right?
Right.
And, like, that's kind of, like, how people, at least from my understanding, people who, like, would, like, force you to go to mass like that, that's kind of how they're thinking is, and, like, my child doesn't want to do this thing, but it's for their own good, so I'm gonna make them do it anyway.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it's just so strange yeah. because, I think this is a problem that, like, most Catholics have, not because, like, it's a Catholic problem, but just because this is, like, a human thing mm-hmm. where, like, obviously, like, we could just kind of, like, forget to love people, and we're like, if you yeah. don't want to go to mass, like, I have no right to make you do anything that you don't want to do, so I'm just gonna right. keep loving you even though you are doing something that is different than what I am doing, and that mm-hmm. like sure, like, maybe, like, you don't agree with it, but, like, you still have a responsibility as a Catholic and as a human being in general to love that person.
I mean, I think that's pretty much what I've learned,
yeah, is
that basically if you are a good person and if you love the people in your life as best as you can, then that's all you really need to do.
Yeah. Wow, that was like 5 minutes of me just stating the obvious. My bad.
No, it's okay.
Also, I can hear Bindi in the background. No, it's so cute.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. Give me one second. I love Bindi.
Come here, Bindi.
My little god dog.
Your god dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just woke up. So.
Aww. Oh, she had
she
a
was
good
on
nap.
My bed. Bindi, did you have a good nap? She's licking my neck, so I'm guessing yes.
I hope you leave this in so they can hear us talking to Bindi.
Well, last time Terrence and I were talking about how Bindi is just the worst because she's so needy, oh. but she's also so cute.
It's like that one TikTok audio where it's like telling your cat, like, you don't rule the roost. I do.
Yeah.
But I want to meet Terrence, by the way.
Okay.
He looks like a yeah. like a fun human being.
Terrence is amazing. Yeah. And
Terrence, if you're listening to this, he's not. When Jenna sent me that picture of you, you looked like you just had a good soul from the way you smile.
He does have a good soul.
Okay, good. My prediction's correct.
Well, I think we're going to have to wrap this up just because it's gone on for 55 minutes.
Yeah.
But Emily, I would love to have you back on the podcast.
I'd love to be back on. This was so much fun.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll just make little, like, Emily episodes.
Your listeners are probably going to be like, oh, this chick again.
Well, hey, you're a very lovable human being. Aww. And if they don't want to listen to you, there's something wrong with them. So.
You're so cute. Thank you. You're so sweet.
But yeah, so, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Oh, anytime. It was my pleasure.
That went so fast. I feel like it was like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it do be like that.
It do be like that. I didn't delete it.
Thank you all so much for listening. I will see you again next week with an unknown topic, but it will be announced on our Instagram page, which is at psyche.podcast. Give us a follow if you want to keep updated with what we're going to discuss each week. Thank you.